Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, the topic tonight is Lo Tikom Velo Titor. Don't revenge and don't take, don't hold grudge over somebody else. So this is a very difficult topic and very practical. The reason is very difficult because it goes against the nature of a person. Everybody wants to hold grudge and everybody wants to take revenge. Revenge is something that that every human being is part of their personality. Everybody wants it. Somebody did something wrong to you, something bad to you. You want to be able to take revenge and you want to hold grudge. They do Neshama of Yaakov and Israel. Israel and Yaakov. The shiur tonight was sponsored by Mrs. Garber. They do Neshama of her father, Israel and Yaakov. Now, the question is, how is it that the Torah is giving us something that is so difficult, like everything, nothing is easy, that this is something that we really have to fight in order to get a hold of it and control it. Now, the Torah tells us, Lo tikom v'lo titor et b'nei amecha. Sefer Chinuch explains what is the reason for that, why the Torah is giving us this such a complex commandment to us. The Chinuch says, because everybody should know that everything that happens to us is not the other person is doing it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it to us, and we have to be able to focus on Hashem. We shouldn't focus on the other person, we should focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the whole idea of Lo Tikom V'lo Titor. Now the Gemara tells us, Masechet Shabbat, הנעלבים ואינן עולבים, שומן חרפתן ואינן משיבים, עושים מהבה ושמחים באיסורים. If a person that they embarrass him and he doesn't embarrass a person back, or they hear things about them and they don't answer back, and they take everything behava with love, and the semechin beisurin, and they're happy with all the suffering that comes to them. Alehem akatuv omer beohavav kesed ashemesh migurato. And the Gemara says, Masechet Chulin, en haolam mitkayem ela bishvil mi shebolem et asmo b'sha'at meriva. The world does not stand only because of the people that they close their mouth when there is a fight. You see that even though that the Gemara tells us, the Torah tells us that the Lo Tikom Torah is a difficult proposition, but still the Gemara gives us tremendous reward for people that they could control themselves and they don't answer back, and they are able to close their mouth and not fight back or not answer back. The Gemara also says, "Kol ma'avir al midotav ma'avirin lo av kol peshaav." Anybody that let go, does not fight back, and is able to forgive people that they did things to them, Hashem also does the same thing to the other person and is able to forgive all their sins also. Why is it like that? Because really HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing. When we do things to Hashem, Hashem could also hold grudge, take revenge from us and hold grudge against us, but he doesn't do it. Hashem says, do the same thing I do. If you do exactly what I do, I'm going to forgive everything that you did. This is what's going on here is there is no other mitzvah in the Torah that the Torah gives us such an important reward. There is, all the other mitzvot that we have, there's reward comes with it, but the reward of this mitzvah, Lo Tikom V'lo Titor, don't hold grudge, don't take revenge, is tremendous reward that none of the other mitzvot has such an important reward. Now there's a very interesting Gemara. Gemara said there was a story about Rabbibi, the son of Abaye. Right? One time, this Rabbibi, visits or he meets Malach HaMavet, the angel of death. And they're talking to each other, and he says to this Malach HaMavet, right? He says that, you know, that Malach HaMavet explains to Rabbi, he says, I'm going to take a neshama, I'm going to get somebody's neshama today. He said, who is that? He says, her name is Miriam Kola'at Sha'ar HaNashim. The Miriam that fixes the hair of people. That's right. And this Malach HaMavet went and he brought a Miriam. But the Miriam that he brought was the wrong Miriam. There was two people in the city that their names were Miriam. Malach HaMavet, my job was to bring the Miriam that fixes the hair. That Malach HaMavet went and he brought the Miriam that babysits. Right? So what's going on here? I told him, Malach HaMavet said to the person that did the job, so I told him to bring Miriam Kolad Asar. I want you to bring the Miriam that fixes her. So I brought the wrong Miriam. Now, what should we do with her? This Rabbi says to Malach HaMavet, so what are you going to do with the wrong person? You killed somebody not in a proper timing. This Miriam that you brought was not the time for her to die. What are you going to do with her? He says, the Malach HaMavet says that I'm going to. It is true that the time is not ripe to die, but Hashem is not going to take anybody if the time is not there yet to die. Because the Rabbi says, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with somebody that by mistake you got them? That's very interesting. How is it possible for Malach HaMavet to kill somebody by mistake? Right? So Malach HaMavet says, there is nobody dies not in a proper timing. I'm going to hold them, he says. Malach HaMavet says, I'm going, the Gemara says that. He says, I'm going to leave them around. They're going to be around, but they are not going to go to Shamayim. In other words, their neshama is going to fly around, but they are not going to go to Shamayim yet. They're going to leave this world. I cannot bring them back, but they're going to stay right there. Now, Rabbi asks a question. He says, wait a minute. This lady, let's say, should have be alive another 10, 20, 30 years. What's going to happen to those years that she's not going to have? Right? Who are you going to give those years? There are 30 years of this lady that you took away and she's not going to have it. Who is going to have those 30 years? The Malach HaMavet says, a person that ma'avir al midotav, a person that let go, didn't hold grudge, and didn't take revenge, those 30 years that was taken away from this lady are going to go to that person. How you see from here, from this Gemara, that the person that is able to ma'avir al midotav, able to not hold grudge and not to take revenge, the reward, their reward is arichut yamin. Their reward is to have a long life. And what is the long life coming from? Comes from people that this type of situation, that they have years left, and the only people they deserve to take those years are the people that ma'avir al midotav, people that they didn't take revenge and they didn't hold grudge, Now, how we are going to deal with people? Let's become practical. What do you do when somebody does something wrong to you? And we are human beings, we are not malachim, we are not angels, right? What do you do? How do you deal with it? And tonight is not like the other classes. I want to give a lot of halachic questions, halachic practical questions that happens to all of us, that how a person should deal halachically. How do you deal with situations that happens to all of us, and how do you deal with situations that comes our way And when it's considered lo tikom, when it's considered lo titor, when it's considered revenge, when it's considered grudge, and how a person is over on the love. Lo tikom, lo titor is a mamash, a love in the Torah. It's not a stam alacha somewhere. It's a love. It's like somebody that does something wrong, it's in a halal Shabbat. Lo tikom, lo titor is also the same. Somebody eats on Yom Kippur, lo tikom, lo titor is also the same. There's no difference. It's all lavim in the loves in the Torah that one has to pay a lot of attention to this halachot. Now, what is considered lo tikom? Let's talk about lo tikom. Taking revenge. The Gemara tells us that if somebody, the Rashi brings in Parashat Kedoshim, it says somebody comes to you and he says, "Lend me your table." You said, "I'm not, I don't know, I can't give you my table." Tomorrow, the same person comes to you and asks you for the table. And you say, the same way you didn't give me yesterday, I'm not going to give it to you. That's lotikom. What's lotitor? Lotitor says the person comes and asks you for the table, and you don't give it to them. They said, tomorrow they come to you, and they ask you for the table, and you say, "Yeah, here is a table. But I'm not like you. You didn't give me yesterday, but I'm going to give it to you." That's lo titor. Okay, there's two things here. One is you don't give it to them because they didn't give it to you. The other way is that you say to them, "You know what? You didn't give it to me yesterday. I'm not like you, but I'm going to give it to you." You give it to them, but you make a comment when you give it to them. These are lo tikom, lo titor. Now, where do we learn a lot of the halachot of lo tikom v'lo titor, revenge and grudge? Where do we learn the Torah? Which parasha has most of the inyanim of this revenge? This week's parasha, right? Parasha of Yosef and Echav, right? Yosef and his brothers is the parasha that really we could learn so much from Yosef and his brothers. Where do we see that? The Midrash tells us like this. Amar Shmuel ben Nachmani, right? Mesoret agada u biyadenu she'en Esav nofel ela biyad banei asher Rachel. The only way the enemies of Klal Israel are going to be destroyed only with the hands of the children of Rachel. Lama she'im ba'im ha-shebatim, because if the shebatim, if all the other the children of Esav, they come to the children of Yaakov, they come to Esav and they say to Esav, "Why are you chasing us? Why do you want to kill us?" He says to them, "You chase your brother. Why are you looking at me for?" Right? But if Esav goes to Yosef and Yosef asks him, "Why are you chasing your brothers?" What can he tell Yosef? Right? Yosef is going to say, "My brothers chased me and I didn't do anything to them." And therefore the Midrash says, the only person that could save Klal Israel from the hands of Esav is Yosef HaTzadik. Because Esav cannot say anything to him. Cannot say, "No, I chased my brothers, I killed my brothers, I took revenge from them." Esav could say, "You know, you guys did it to your brother, why can't I do it? You 11 other brothers, you did to your brother, why can't I do it?" But when it comes to yourself, Yosef says, "You know what, look at me. I didn't do anything wrong to my brothers." The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the same part the parasha says, Parashat Vayigash, it says that Yaakov said, Yosef said to his brothers, "Ani Yosef Achichem, Hashem mechartem oti." Right? So Rachaim HaKadosh says, what does that mean? "Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, your brother, that you sold me." See, Rachaim says, there is a word extra in this. Achichem. Your brother. Because he says, "Achichem, ani umitna'eg imachem ba'achva keilu lo irad davar benenu." So Yosef said to his brothers, "I am your brother and I'm going to treat you as my brother that you didn't do anything to me." That was the gadlut, the greatness of Yosef HaTzaddik. Now you, if we all of us, we put ourselves in front of Yosef, how many of us we could go through life without holding grudge? Yosef HaTzaddik went through so much. Nobody in the world goes through so much like Yosef HaTzaddik, and he was able to come out and he say to them, "Ani Yosef Achichem, I'm Yosef, your brother." What does that mean, your brother? Everybody knows Yosef is the brother of the Shevatim, but I am treating you like my brother. I have no grudge, not holding revenge. There's nothing wrong between us. This is the parasha that we have to learn. We have to learn the halachot of revenge from Yosef HaTzaddik. There is another Gemara. The Gemara tells us that this Gemara is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara said there was once somebody, if a husband goes to his wife and says to his wife, "I want you to cook for me tonight shete adashim." Right? Shete adashim in Hebrew means two lentils. But shete adashim, two lentils, also means a little bit of lentils. So this woman goes home and cooks only two adashim, two lentils. The husband comes home and he says, "What's going on there? Well, why cook you only two adashim, two lentils there?" He gets upset at her. Tomorrow, he goes to her and says to her, "Cook for me se'ah adashim." Se'ah means like a pound of lentils. That which means you could either look at it a pound of lentils a lot of lentils. Tomorrow he goes home and she cooks for him a pound of adashim. So I didn't ask her to cook me so much lentils here. Again, he goes to her and he says, "I want you to bring me two watermelon." Now, bosini in Aramaic means either watermelon or candles. He meant that I want you to go get me two watermelons. She goes and gets him two candles. Comes home, so what do I need candles for? I told her to bring me two watermelon. And he gets so upset with her. He says to her, "I want you to go and break these two candles by the door." Baba in Aramaic means door. So she thinks that he's talking about to go and break in the head of Rababa ben Buta. Rababa ben Buta was a rav in the city. She takes this candle and goes to Baba ben Buta and breaks it on his head. So Rababa ben Buta says, What are you doing?" So my husband said, "I should take this and break it the head of Baba ben Baba." So I thought that he means by Baba ben Buta. So now Rababa ben Buta says that because you listened to, I'm not upset, because you listened to your husband, not only I'm not upset, I'm going to give you a bracha that you should have two sons like Baba ben Buta. He gives her a bracha that he should have two sons like Baba ben Buta. Now, the Gemara continues and says, "En lecha isha keshera benashim, ela kesheose raton ba'ala." The person that means both. A woman, who is considered a kosher woman, that listens, that wants to do what her husband wants her to do. Vice versa also is true. It's not only one way. Both ways is true. But you see from this Gemara, that imagine Rababa ben Buta, he talks about the Tana, right? Somebody is considered like, you know, the man could, if we talk in our language today, we're talking about Yad Rav Shach, 10 times bigger than Rav Shach. He's sitting in a pond of a yeshiva, somebody comes in, two candles, breaks it on his head. And so my husband told me I should break it on your head. What do you think we should do? The old yeshiva would break on this lady and they would kill her. But not only that didn't happen, dear Baba Ben Buddha gave her a bracha that she should have two sons as big as Baba Ben Buddha. This is the sakha. These are the rewards of people that they are not able. They won't. Not only they don't take revenge, but they are also able to control themselves and give bracha too. Two things here. I want to tell one more Gemara, then I'm going to go to the Alacha part of it. There is another Gemara. The reason I'm going to bring you this, all this Gemarot, I want you to understand what is not that the Torah just said something. There are so many people that they practiced it. It was done, and the Gedolim, Abba Rabbanim, they practiced it. There's a story about Rabbi Kruspadiyar, that he got sick. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him, and they waited and waited, that they saw that he died. Right. It was on Shabbat. Rabbi Yochanan said, let's wait, we cannot do anything to him, we have to wait till Sunday morning to take him out. While they are waiting, they looked at Rav Kirspada's face, they saw he's crying and he's laughing. And somebody came back to Rabbi Yochanan and said, I don't think this Rav Kirspada is dead. And they looked at him, was alive. He came back. They went to him and said, Rabbi Yochanan went to his Rav Kirspada. He said, what's going on with you? He says, I went to Olam Abba and I came back. He said, what did you see there? Rav Kirspada said that when I went there, they showed me everything. They showed me Melech HaMashiach, they showed me the whole thing, and I saw the people that they learned from, what reward they get there, and he goes through the whole thing. Now he says, Rav Yochanan asked him, why do you cry and why do you laugh at the same time? He said, because I was crying because the Melech HaMashiach was given Rashut, they gave him permission to take me away. But I laughed because when they took me to Bedin Shel Ma'ala and they saw one thing that I had, I was Ma'avir Al Midotai. I never held grudge against anybody. They sent me back. They told me, go home. We don't have to stay here. And I came back and I stayed here for so many years, and then he died years later. This is from Zohar HaKadosh. Zohar HaKadosh explains that the reward of a person, the Ma'avir Al Midotav, how important it is. Now, let's talk about practical halachot. When is it considered Nekima, and when are you allowed to take a grudge? Right? When are you allowed to take a grudge, and when are you allowed to take revenge? Not always is Asur. When is it Mutar? When is it Asur? And when a person is allowed to show you have a neighbor that they do things to you and you want to do something to them, when are you allowed to do anything and when should you stay quiet? And I want to tell you a lot of different scenarios here. That's really the shiur tonight. That's what the shiur is tonight starts now. Okay, it says the Gemara tells us that nekama is that if somebody didn't do anything good to you, you ask somebody to do something good to you, for you, and they didn't do it. They come, ask you to do the same thing, you say, no, I'm not doing it. Now, what would be the scenario? There's a question that came up in Eretz Israel. Somebody, Reuven, had a house, and there was a fire in his house. He goes to his neighbor and says, could you please help me out? I have a fire in my house. Give me something to put the fire out. The guy, Shimon, the next door neighbor, says, I don't have anything to give you. Leave me alone. I'll go put water over it. And by the time the guy gets to there, the fire gets all over the house, and most of his furniture gets destroyed. 2 years later, this Shimon goes to Reuven. He says, would you please, my son wants to get into certain school in Israel, would you please put a good word for my son? So Reuven thinks to himself, he says, no, there's two ways to do it. Either you're going to say, you know, we destroyed my house, I'm not going to do anything for you. Or you could say, Besimcha Gedola, I'll do it, I'll be more than happy to do it. What's the right thing to do? somebody destroyed because they didn't help you to put the fire out, your house, most of the house got destroyed. And now they come to you, ask you to help them to put their son's school, and you are the only one could help them. How would you respond to a question like that? You are the neighbor. A lot of people would say, why should I help this guy? What's the right answer? So I'll be more than happy to help you. That's the right answer to the. It shouldn't even bring up that you didn't do this to me, I'm not going to help you. You should say, I'll be more than happy to do whatever I can to put your son to school. Okay, that's one. Now, what about if somebody comes to you and you don't say anything? Just stay quiet. Right? What would be the case? You have a car in the mechanic shop. You need somebody, you're asking your neighbor to give you a ride to go pick up your car. It's 6 o'clock, they're closing, and if they don't give you a ride, you're stuck without a car. You go to your neighbor and say, listen, you are driving, would you please give me a ride? I need to go pick up my car. The guy says, no, I can't take you. No, whatever, he pushes him away. Next day, this man, this Shimon, the person comes into Reuven and says, would you please help me out with my, I need something to put in my car, I need help to load my car, right? There's two ways to do it. Either you could say, I came to your faith and help me, or say nothing. So just turn your face away and walk away. Are you allowed to do that? Is that considered a nekama? Is that considered that you are taking revenge? You are not saying anything. You are not saying yes and say no. You just don't answer. That also nekama b'shetika is considered a nekama. When you are not revenge without saying a word, that's also considered a nekama. Now what about if the same scenario, You have an ugly face. It's showing with your face that you are upset with them. Is that considered an nekama? That's also considered an nekama. You understand? Let me put it very simply. You have to jump up and down. You have to dance. You have to say, I'll be more than happy to help you. And do whatever you can to help them. That's then you are not aware of the surah of nekama. A tremendous, tremendous nisayon, a test that the person could have in order not to be over on the sur of nakama. You hear? Not only you can't say I don't have time, you have to go out of your way, you cannot be quiet, you cannot show with your face you're upset with them, you have to do whatever you can to help the person that didn't help you yesterday and caused you a lot of damage, and you lost money, and you now today you have to get off work half a day to go pick up your car that you could have really picked it up yesterday, this guy would give you a ride. All that you have to put aside and show him happy face and help him out. And if he asks you to do anything, say, Bechavot, what do you need me to do? I'll be more than happy to help you out. That is Surah Nekama. Now, what about if this person that you're dealing with is a shachen ra, is a bad neighbor? You don't want to have anything to do with him. You say, well, what do I need somebody next door? Why do I need to have shaykhut? Why do I need to have anything to do with somebody like that? I don't want to have anything to do with this person. Are you really aware of the surah of nekama if you don't want to have anything to do with this person? Now, the halacha is, the situation came up, the she'ela was came up, also in Eretz Yisrael, somebody asked, I think Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the she'ela was like this. There was somebody that, he said Lashon Hara about somebody. Reuven said Lashon Hara about Shimon. And Reuven found out that Shimon is saying Lashon Hara about it. A week later, this Shimon comes up to him and he says that he sits next to him in the shul. Reuven wants to get up and go sit somewhere else. He doesn't want to sit next to somebody, say Lashon Hara about him. You know, they spread rumors about him. He doesn't want to sit next to him. He wants to get up and leave. Right? Is he allowed to do that? Is that considered a nekama? Is that considered revenge to get up and go somewhere else? He doesn't want to sit next to somebody that spread Lashon Hara about him. That was the question was asked. So what would you answer? What would you say? Would you say, is it okay? Or would you say, is that so? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, depends why do you want to get up and leave. If you want to do that because you want to show him the karma, I want to take revenge on this guy, then it's also. But if you want to get up and leave because you don't want to have anything to do with somebody who spends Lashon Hara, the guy is a bad person. Not because I want to take the karma from him. I want to stay away from this guy. Then it's mutar to do that. Then you are allowed to do that. And there was, it has to do with what is your intention. What's your kavana? Your kavana is that you don't want to sit next to somebody that's such a mushkat, somebody that is so bad, that's something like that, then you have a right to do that. But if your intention is, I want to show him, I want to embarrass him, I want to take it, revenge from him, then you are not allowed to do that. The same thing, if somebody does something bad to you, right? Few incidents that happen between you and them, and whichever way you try to talk to them, nothing goes in. The only way you think that the message is going to go through is by showing them that, you know what, I don't want to be friends with you. You are allowed to do that as long as your intention is not nekama. As long as your intention is that you want to teach them that this is not the way to do it. You want to rebuke them, right? Then you are allowed to do that. The Gemara, they said that the case in the Gemara was that somebody comes, asks you for something, you don't want to give it to them, so that next day they come ask you the thing, we don't want to give it to them either. Because they didn't give it to me, I'm not going to give it to you. Now let me ask you a question. That happens all the time. What about you don't want to give the guy because the guy is lousy, he's going to destroy your table. Right? Somebody comes, ask you for a table. We didn't give it to them. Tomorrow he comes and you're going to go ask them. They're going to say, you didn't give it to me, I'm not going to give it to you. But what about if you don't want to really give it to them because whatever you give them, they break it. Right? You're not giving them because they didn't give it to you. You don't want to give it to them because they're not responsible. Is that considered an nekama? This also has to do with your kavanah. What's your intention? If you are not doing it because these people are not responsible, then you are allowed to do that. But if you are doing it because you want to take revenge, they didn't care about you, you don't care about them, then you are not allowed to do that. So you see, the issur of nekama really has a lot has to do with what our intentions are, what's going on in our heart, why we are doing it, and that's why it makes it so difficult. This is why it's not so simple, it's not black and white here, because it makes it so difficult that you have to really search yourself. You have to really get into your bottom of your heart, why am I not doing it? Is it really because of that? Is it really that I'm not giving because they're going to break it? Is it really I'm not doing it because they are not responsible, or I'm not doing it because they didn't give it to me? Which one is it? Right? That's why it's not, you have to make it, you have to search yourself and figure it out. Now, what about if you are taking nekama, right, revenge from somebody because it has nothing to do with you, right? Let's say you had a cousin. Somebody didn't treat your cousin right. Now you have something to do with that guy, right? He never did anything bad to you. He did something bad to your cousin. But because you like your cousin, you don't want to deal with this guy either. Is that considered a nakama? Yes. Is that also considered a nakama? And even though that you are not directly involved with this person, that's also considered a nakama. And nakama also would be if the person that you are revenging, he doesn't even know that you are revenging from them. That's also considered a nakama. Even without him, without them knowing that you are doing, you're taking a revenge from them. That's also considered a nakama. Now, what about, this is a common situation. Let's say you invite somebody to come to your wedding, to bar mitzvah, to a bris, whatever it is. They don't show up. Then they invite you to come to their wedding and bar mitzvah and this, and you don't want to go. Right? You say, they didn't come, I'm not going. That's obviously, that's considered a revenge. They didn't come to you. But what about, they didn't come because they had a good reason. Right? You find out, you talk to them, and they tell you, you know what, I had this and that, I was out of town, and whatever, they give you a good reason, and you agree with the reason that it was a good reason. They didn't show up. Now, they invite you to come to their wedding. You are tired, you don't want to go. Do you have to push yourself to go because they gave you a good reason, that the reason they didn't show up, no, that a valid reason they didn't show up, but you don't have a valid reason not to go. Should you push yourself to go, but because if you don't go, that's considered a nakama. That also has to do with our intention is. If our intention is that bottom of my heart, I'm upset with this guy, even though he gave me a good reason, but still I'm upset. He didn't come. Why should I go? But if my intention is really I have no grudge against this guy, the reason I don't go, so I'm not up to it. I'm tired. We have to really research ourselves and find out why am I not going, what's my intention, what am I trying to accomplish, what am I trying to do to this guy. That's also the same thing. Now, let me get to real case here. What about a revenge between husband and a wife? Then what do you do with that? Right? There's a lot of times the husbands are taking a revenge from their wives, and wives they take revenge from their husbands. What would be the case? Let's say your wife or your husband, whatever your case is, didn't prepare food. And on time, they say 6 o'clock when it's supper, the food is not ready, you come home, and the food is not ready. You say, you know what, my wife didn't prepare the food on time, tomorrow night, I'm not gonna take her out. That's considered revenge. Even though that you dealing with each other and they did it, they did exactly, you want to show them something, they didn't did this to me, I'm not going to do that to them. Okay? Or let's say you forgot your husband's birthday. You didn't buy anything for them, or he didn't remember your birthday, right? Or they didn't clean up the house the way it's supposed to, or the table is not set, or they were supposed to go, so they didn't come on time, or whatever the case is, right? You do something because they didn't take care of whatever they were supposed to do, you didn't do it, that's considered an nakama. Because you're over on the love in the Torah. You know how many people are over on this love every day? Every day. Right? Now, let's say your wife or your husband was supposed to give you a ride. She came late. And because of that, you have to stay in the rain outside for about half an hour before your wife comes pick you, give you a ride. Now, next day, you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to show her. I'm going to also let her wait half an hour. She should know what is the feeling of somebody waiting for you to pick you up. That's considered a nakama. That's also a sort to do that. Okay. That's a nakama. What's a natira? Natira means that is real in your heart. Right? Natira means that somebody asks you, You somebody comes ask you for a table, you don't give it to them, you call to them and say, which kind of a table? You say, I'm going to give it to you, really, if you take it, but I'm not like you. Right? Now, Isur, the real problem with the Netira, with grudge, is really in your heart. Right? I'm not like you, that you didn't lend it to me, I'm going to lend it to you. Now, there's a few cases that I want to tell you, there is a situation that you are allowed to do that, letoelet. If there's a nekama letoelet, and there's a netira letoelet, which means that sometimes you are allowed to revenge for the right purpose, and you are allowed to hold grudge for a purpose. Now, in order to do that, there are five conditions that you have to follow. If you want to take a revenge and you want to hold a grudge for a purpose, you have to follow five tenaim. Number one, you have to know for a fact that the person you want to do something to them, that you really, they deserve your revenge. That's number one. Number two, what they did to you really was not besedek. Right? It wasn't fair. Number three, that your intention is 100%, there is a toilet to it. That whatever you want to do, there is a good purpose, there is something good going to come out of it. Your kavana, your intention is for good purpose. Number four, there is no other way to teach this person or whoever you're dealing with except doing what you are going to do. That's the only way the other side is going to understand where you're coming from. Number five, you cannot do more than what the exact measurement that you are going to do to that person. It has to be exactly the amount, the pressure or the action that you are going to do has to be exactly the amount that they deserve to get. If you follow all five of them, then you are allowed to do a nekama, a grudge, or revenge for toilet. Now we have to really think that is it possible for somebody to really follow all these five things in order to get across a point to somebody and get them to understand. The bottom line is that in order for a person to get somebody to understand the message, is as a lot has to do with our intention. What are we really trying to accomplish? Are we really trying to get to the other person? Are we really trying to take in the karma? Are we really trying to take revenge? Or really we want to teach them a lesson? Is it really because I like the other side, I want him to fix up his midot, his character trait, or am I doing it because my own selfish reasons? These are the questions that one has to ask themselves in order to be able to teach somebody else to do the right thing. Now there is something very interesting. The Gemara tells us that a person that takes a nekama is like a person that is cutting his right hand with his left hand. So how is that possible? How can you cut your right hand with your left hand? The Gemara says, the same way that you are not able to do that because your right hand and your right and left both are from the same person, call Israel Arabim Zelazeh. All every Jew is responsible for another Jew. How can you hurt another Jew? How can you take revenge from another person? That's really the, we have to look at it this way, how we are going to deal with this. There's a very interesting Sefer Hasidim. It says, that's the best line that I saw from all these things. It said, how can you take revenge from somebody? Yosif ma'ala yetera be'atzmo במעשים טובים ומידות טובות. The best revenge that you could get from somebody, you make yourself a better person. Do more mitzvot and have a better character trait. That's the biggest nekama you could do to somebody. That's the biggest revenge that you could give somebody. If you get yourself higher, you get yourself bigger and better, there is nothing more that you could do to the other person that they see that, that nothing affects you. If you are above everything, that's the biggest nekama that the person could give to somebody else. You have to be above anything that could happen to a person. We have to work on ourselves that we are above that. We are over that. I don't even deserve these things. I'm above all this. I fix myself to be a better person and better ma'asim tovim, better midot tovot. If you could do that, that's the biggest nekama that you could give to somebody else. Any questions?